And welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in Eastern Plains, Colorado. During the slow but steady decline of Western civilization, just finished the book, Epoch, the Rise and Fall of the West. We live in extraordinary times. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy in studio. Bill, a very important phenomenon to be aware of at this point. Anti-conversion laws are proliferating around the world. Have you heard of these?
It doesn't surprise me.
India, 2016.
Yeah,
that's when they got the anti-conversion law, 2016. And guess what's happening today? Persecutions. Right? India's probably the place in which we've seen the most aggressive ramp up in persecutions of Christian churches, the burning of churches, the slaughtering of pastors. That's been happening almost wholesale in India since 2016. India got its anti-conversion law in 2016. Nepal, in 2017. Myanmar, in 2015.
I'm appalled at Nepal.
Terrible. Bhutan, yep. 2011. This is what's happening. Afghanistan, Saudi Arabia, Iran, Sudan, and Yemen have conversion as a capital offense. These are some of the Muslim countries. So you have the Muslim countries, you've got the Hindu countries. Conversion is a capital offense in some of these countries. Terrible.
Yeah.
And Australia banned conversion in 2017. Canada just did it last week.
Just last week.
Mm-hmm. Right there up with their
conversion laws.
Right up there with Afghanistan, India, and Nepal.
Yeah. Can't do it.
You didn't think that was going to happen, did you?
No. You wouldn't have expected it, but it's a snowball, and it's become
happening
an avalanche
around the world, friends. Yep. It's happening around the anti-conversion laws in Canada, if you can believe it. The new law criminalizes any practice, treatment, or service designed to change, repress, or reduce a person's same-sex attraction or sexual behavior or their gender identity or expression differs from their biological sex. Here's Jose Ruba. He's communications director for Free to Care in Calgary. Okay, this is in Canada. He says, we know this law will be weaponized by the Muslims and the Hindu. Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me.
No.
By
no,
the
no.
LGBT activists.
Oh, excuse me. Yeah.
Against the church in Canada, is what he says. Already some activists have signaled plans to push the government to remove the charitable status of any organization that seeks to convert people from the Muslim the LGBT lifestyle. We don't expect churches to have charitable status in the next 10 years, said Ruba. Well, Canada and Australia now as tyrannical as Saudi Arabia, Sudan, Yemen, and Myanmar. That's just a shameful legacy to restrict freedom in such a way. What a shame. What a shame. What a shame.
Shame.
On Canada and Australia.
Yeah.
Some of the most shameful things that have ever happened in the history of the world, certainly in the history of the post-Christian world. Australia and Canada, some of the most embarrassing and horrible things, the most awful kind of tyranny in terms of the restriction of the right to free speech, the right to religion, the right to faith, basic freedoms that we have enjoyed for at least 1,000 years in the Western world, obliterated in Australia and Canada in just the last year or two, Canada just last week. Well, friends, I'm sure some of you are shocked by this. You say, well, I kind of expected it in the Muslim countries, but Canada? It just doesn't make sense.
Oh, it does. If you recognize that when a nation turns away from God, it becomes very repressive. It doesn't stand for liberty anymore. It doesn't value the individual. You must walk lockstep with the zeitgeist.
Yeah, this is what happens, my friends. When tyrants take over, Christians leave the public realm. And I know people are saying, now wait a minute. I know that there's Islamic fundamentalists in Saudi Arabia and Yemen. I know there are Hindu fundamentalists operating in India. I understand this. But fundamentalists, humanist fundamentalists operating in Canada, impossible. There can't be that level of religious fundamentalism in Canada. But people need to understand that homosexuality is fundamentalistic secular religion. That's the height of it. If you want to be the ultimate in terms of a fundamentalist in the secular religion, my friends, you have got to be committed to man worship and man self-definition as much as Islam is committed to Islam and Hinduism is committed to Hinduism. If you are going to be a consistent humanist, you must self-define your gender. You must self-define your sexuality. You must put man on the pedestal to become God. You must make yourself a God and determine yourself, self-determine yourself in terms of your sexuality and your identity. That absolutely must happen. This is the highest form of humanist fundamentalism, and homosexuality is the highest sacrament of humanist autonomy in the humanist religion. I think people need to understand that. And so this is a conflict of religions, Bill. This is fundamentalistic humanism / the homosexual sacrament against Christians.
Yeah.
Right? There's no neutrality here.
No, it's a war of ideas. And there are casualties during any war, be it a physical conflict or a war of ideas. And the victims in this war are children and the future of our nation.
It's interesting, my friends, how apostasy in the West and the idea of evangelism for conversion is punishable now by fundamentalist Hindu countries, fundamentalist Islam countries, and now these fundamentalist humanist countries. In other words, if you apostatize from the faith of humanism, if you change from being a humanistic homosexual to not being a humanistic homosexual, you have been converted, and that becomes or may become a capital crime. If you encourage somebody to change their religion from a fundamentalist humanist perspective or a fundamentalist Islamic perspective, either in Canada or in Saudi Arabia, you could be up for the death penalty. Now, one of the assumptions about these religions is that evangelism or conversion is always coercive. And that's what man does. Man coerces the other man. So there's a lot of coercive, top-down stuff. Even these laws are coercive.
Oh, yeah.
But within the Christian faith, we convey a message and rely on a supernatural heart change that cannot happen by the manipulation of man's will over somebody else's will. And I think the idea is that we're going to coerce somebody to become a Christian. But as Christians, one of the fundamental beliefs of the Christian faith is that we don't force people to become Christians. The Holy Spirit works in their life. They are born again, and they are made willing in the day of His power, not in the day of my power. You understand the difference there, Bill?
Every other worldview, every other world religion is willing to lay down your life for their cause.
Right.
Christianity is the only one that it calls its followers to lay down their lives for the sake of Christ and for the cause of Christ and the sake of others. There is a worldview of difference between those two things.
Now, historically, I think this is interesting. Many of these governments, Sudan, India, Myanmar, were influenced by the Christian West during the height of the British Empire. I mean, think of the Victorian age, where Queen Victoria is a Christian. She influences the world. We put an end to sati by God's grace. There's a lot of common grace that spread around some of these nations over those hundreds of years. But as the Christian influence has been killed in Britain, I mean, it's been killed in Britain. The Christian influence has been killed in America as well. But as the Christian influence is lifted, persecution now burns hot against Christians in these countries, as well as in the post-Christian Western countries. The apostasy of Britain, the apostasy of Canada, Australia, means the persecutions of Christians in Sudan and India and Myanmar, but also it means persecution of Christians in Australia and Canada. Very interesting. Well, friends, we're going to come back in just a moment to talk about this conversion theory in the realm of the homosexual sacrament. That next on Generations. Hello, friends. Kevin Swanson here from Generations wanted to share a quick testimony from one of our partners.
Hello, my name is Kevin Boren. I'm a husband and father of four precious children. I started listening to the Generations Radio podcast in 2014, and I have not missed a single episode over the past 8 years. I am so grateful for the way God has used Kevin Swanson and the Generations ministry to make an eternal impact on my family. In fact, next to the Bible, I would say that God has used the Generations ministry to do more in cultivating a biblical worldview in my life than anything else. We also love their homeschool curriculum, books, and online events. Kevin and his team are a gift from God and a blessing to the world.
If you too have been blessed or encouraged by the work of Generations, could I ask you to consider partnering with us to help continue this work God has called us to in the months and the years ahead? It's truly the hand of God and the generosity of our donors that allows us to grow and reach more families like yours for the kingdom of Christ. Our ministry base doubled just last year, and we're excited for what 2022 has in store. So would you join us in this ministry opportunity? You can donate today at generations.org/give. That's generations.org/give. And we're back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you, Bill Jack, also in studio. Anti-conversion laws in India, Afghanistan, and Canada. Canada just passing its anti-conversion law just last week. This conversion therapy is defined as the pseudoscientific practice of attempting to change an individual's sexual orientation from homosexual to bisexual to heterosexual, listen, using psychological, physical, or spiritual interventions, which means this applies just as much to your local church and your local pastor as it does to local psychiatrists. So these laws are going to put pastors in prison. That's the goal here.
Right. And people need to recognize that. They need to be certain that there is no barrier between the sacred and the secular here. They are viewing this as a full assault upon the church.
Right. So Canada, Australia, other Western nations will persecute Christian pastors even as Christian pastors are being persecuted in India, Afghanistan, Saudi Arabia, and Yemen. So expect persecution to come. Now, we need to answer the question of conversion therapy, et cetera, that is it possible for people to change their tendencies towards certain forms of sin? Are children born with a proclivity to sin? Yes. The answer is yes. Have you ever run into a child, Bill?
There's no need for me to even comment on that. All we need to encourage our listeners to do is go observe a two-year-old in a playground.
I've got, three in my house right now.
Yeah.
So are children born with a proclivity to sin? Put two kids in one room with one toy. For 2 minutes. Okay, got it.
There you go.
Are certain children born with proclivities to certain kinds of sin? Well, we have two little grandsons. One of them is given to grabbing the other kid's toy. The other is given to temper tantrums. So as it turns out, they tend to have different proclivities to different kinds of sins. Some people are more given to anger, some to lying, some to alcohol dependency, some to sexual sin. Some kids are given to cross-dressing fairly early on. We're all born in sin. The particular kind of sin to which we're drawn may differ. But guys, hello. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Now, I'm going to go to a psychiatrist, a Christian psychologist. Okay, this is very important, I think, to understand what is going on in Christian colleges today. So I'm going to bring back Grove City College. This is one more nail in the coffin of Grove City College. This is one more of the 6 to 8 most conservative colleges in America that's going down the tubes right now. CRT, LGBT, et cetera, et cetera. How many good ones are there left? 2.5, I think.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. I mean, it's like 0.001% of American colleges are any good anymore. But Professor Earl Warren Throckmorton is a psychology professor at Grove City College. He's developed the sexual identity therapy framework and the creator of a documentary, I Do Exist, about people who say they have changed their sexual orientation, but according to him, they really can't. So one of the roots of the demise of the fine institution of Grove City College is this psychology professor, Dr. Warren Throckmorton. And he says, you are not going to change your sexual orientation. In fact, he's taken Rosario Butterfield the task on this. He says, after working with LGBT people for 2 decades, I believe some people are inherently gay, etc. So now here is a recent interview that the professor had online with VCW, whoever they are. And let me play a little bit of this for you, Bill, so you understand the worldview of this Dr. Throckmorton, psychology professor at Grove City College, and apparently a sidekick works at Wheaton College. So this is where the Christian colleges have gone. So here it is.
You know, I say gay change is possible, but I really am still attracted to the same sex. And the more of those experiences, the more I realized I'd really messed up. I mean, I had really, I'd not gotten the evidence the way I needed to. And so part of the professional consequence of people like me, and there's also a guy named Mark Yarhouse, who was at Regent, who's now at Wheaton. We were both kind of the academic, I don't know, representatives of this point of view within academia. We presented at the American Psychological Association conference. I wrote a peer-reviewed paper on XKs. So we were viewed as a kind of, academic duo to represent that perspective. And what had done, the field was polarized. I mean, there was a kind of a competing view to gay change, that if you're evangelical and you don't believe that being gay is acceptable, that you should just change your religion. That, you know, just accept it, don't matter. It doesn't matter if it gives you this and it's the other way, you know, just change your church. That easy. And I think many evangelicals will say that, no, it's not that easy. You know, you don't wake up one morning and say, well, let's see, Buddhist, Baptist, Hindu, which is it today? It's kind of a part of who you are. And so, but the field was polarized in such a way that the therapists were at odds, clients were confused. And so Mark and I decided we needed to find a way to respect religious perspectives without, you know, giving people false hope that they could change their orientation. And that's what the sexual identity therapy framework does, is it basically guides therapists. It gives them the facts about sexual orientation that, that they're not going to change, that it's not an immutable trait. It's not something that, in large measure you see much variability with over the years. A person is attracted to the same sex, that's likely how they're going to remain. And so we just accepted that. I mean, we said, okay, that's just the way it is. But now, you know, you as a client, you know that. What are you going to do about that? Are you going to, are you going to change your religious views? Are you going to maintain your religious views and to accommodate your sexual orientation? And we decided it's not up to the therapist to push the client to kind of make that decision. Some clients will decide that they're not going to ever identify as gay, and they're not going to live a gay life. And that's their right to do that. That's not change, though. That's not change of orientation. And on the other hand, Christian therapists working with gay clients who decide that gay affirming is what they believe is true, is right, they shouldn't have their faith questioned because that's what they come to.
Wow. So, wow. That, my friends, is evangelicalism today. That, my friends, is Wheaton College. That, my friends, is Grove City College.
And what he's saying is that the therapist is to remain neutral.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
I just saw this quote by Edwin Chapin, who was a liberal theologian, but he made this statement, which is insightful. He said, neutral men are the devil's allies. Good. Neutral men are the devil's allies. And to say we're not going to intervene and give biblical counsel on this, we're just going to assume that they cannot change their orientation, and therefore we're going to leave them in their sin, is to be an ally of Satan.
The professor is telling us that a person's moral choices are a function of their faith. But his conclusion is that the Christian psychologist's function is to just be sure that these people are self-consistent in their rebellion against God as they make their way to hell. But he's basically saying, don't question the faith of somebody who's gay-affirming. Don't question his faith.
Right.
Just allow that. The professor wants to put psychology in the realm of the neutral, as you just said. He wants to help people without challenging their fundamental presupposition of autonomy, which is their fundamental problem. Their fundamental problem is a head problem. They're thinking wrongly, and they need to be called to repentance on the Mars Hill of your office or wherever you happen to be ministering. So, friends, actually, it turns out people can change. Now, they can change in two different ways. So let's talk about this. Let's slice and dice this just a little bit. People can change from one sin to another, as it turns out. For example, my father-in-law was not a believer until the very end of his life, but he stopped his drunkenness and then went on to other sins. So actually, people can shift sins, but fundamentally, they can't change their own sinful nature. Jeremiah 13:23, can an Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then may you also do good who are accustomed to do evil. So you can't change your fundamental nature, but by what? But by being born again, by the Holy Spirit. So again, people can change from one sin to another. The unusual thing about homosexuality is that it's a form of sexual nihilism. It's a destruction of civilization, so that makes it a toughie. These things mark the end of a civilization, especially when there's wholehearted social acceptance of it, especially when you have Christian counselors like him putting the stamp of approval and not being willing to stand up in the middle of the counseling session and call a man to repentance, because not only is his sexual orientation slash sinful proclivity wrong, but his whole worldview, his whole religion, his whole faith by which he makes those decisions is wrong, and therefore the Christian psychologist, quote-unquote, has every obligation in the world to call him to repentance, as Paul did to those men on Mars Hill. But he refuses to do so.
Right.
Which means he's a turncoat.
Right.
He's got to be a turncoat.
It's almost the argument that we need to be amoral,
yeah,
without morals.
Yeah.
We do,
mm-hmm,
not need to be judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, that is wrong. Again, I love this statement, neutral men are the devil's allies.
Now, the bottom line here is, I understand this desire on the part of conservatives to want to change people's proclivity towards sexual perversion. They want to salvage a civilization. That's a major intent for conservatives. But what the ironic thing today is that there's absolutely no political will whatsoever left to save a civilization or to deal with the issue of homosexuality or transgenderism. I mean, just look at how much effort that's being put into, you know, de-transgendering the public schools on the part of conservatives. I mean, it is not on the agenda. It's just not there. Why? Because they've given up on the civilization. It's over. Western civilization is over. And these conservatives are more or less admitting to it. Now, I'm not sure it's worth trying to change people's proclivity towards sexual perversion or sexual nihilism without the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, right. I, that would be my position. That's why I don't think this idea of Christian psychologists, you know, working in this realm of neutrality, as Wheaton College and Grove City College is trying to do, and my guess, almost every Christian college treats the field of psychology this way. Well, this field of psychology was developed by Nietzsche and by Freud. The first psychologist was Nietzsche, and these guys were some of the most anti-Christ authors and philosophers the world has ever known. So literally, psychology is the production of the most apostate, the most atheistic persons, philosophers that this world has ever known. And so that's what makes the whole field questionable. But if we are called into discussions on people's issues relating to sexuality or relating to psychology, psychological problems or relational problems in their home, Bill, I think we as Christians have every obligation in the world to bring the gospel into it.
Right. It's not an obligation. It's a command. We're commanded to. We're commanded to go and teach all that he commanded, to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, to destroy arguments, speculations, faulty thinking, bad ideas that are raised up against the knowledge of God.
Well, and the gospel has done amazing work in transforming cultures in the past. Bill, I mean, think about the difference between the Greek and the Roman societies of the 200s. Think about the most horrific, nightmarish Caesars you can think of. Well, wait a minute, don't.
Yeah,
it's horrible. It's horrible to even think of their sexual proclivities. Okay, but think about what the gospel did. And you can read about it in Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West. I mean, friends, this is history. The gospel conquered Europe and brought the horrible Greek and Roman cultural destruction and sexual nihilism to an end by the 400s. 1 Corinthians 6:9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But thanks be to God, you were washed, you were justified, you were sanctified,
in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now, our message today is very simply this. You can't change, but God can change you. Isn't that the core message of the Christian faith, Bill? You right. can't change, but God can change you. And when he works in you, you will work out your own salvation because it is him that works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So focus on what God can do. Focus on what God can do. And friends, let's keep preaching conversion because God can do it. And we can watch God bring about the most amazing conversion. People say sexual orientation impossible to change. Listen, lying is impossible to change. I'm a pastor, Bill. I've worked with people for the last 35 years. You want to talk about impossible? Pornography habits. You want to talk about impossible? Lying. Relational breakdown. They're all impossible. You think changing somebody's sexual orientation is impossible? Yeah. You got it, Prof.
Yeah.
You got it.
Greed is impossible.
Greed is impossible to change. Thank you.
Yeah,
but by the grace of God, by the work of God, you can be washed and sanctified and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Friends, let me encourage you to our book, Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West, to better understand the context of what is happening in the apostasy of Grove City College and Wheaton College. Again, get your copy today and get copies for your children, for your granddaughters, for your grandsons who are heading off to college. They need to get their worldview straightened up before they get off to college. I'd encourage you to the book Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West, to better understand the context of what is going on right now in this gigantic war of the worldviews. The book is Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West, available at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.